Om Shanti. Yes, I would like you all to repeat after me. Om Shanti. Good morning. Hearty welcome to all of you on behalf of Prajapita Brahma Kumari Ishwariya Vishwavidyalaya as well as myself. In this program, Leadership 2, the morning sessions will be on Raj Yoga Meditation. There is a lot of information about yoga. In today's world, the word yoga has become very well known. But how much do we really know about it? And how much are we really able to practice it? And how much do we know the benefits of it? Actually, from where this word yoga has come, actually the original word is not yoga. Especially when we read the word, read the Gita, in that there's mention of Raj Yoga. And every chapter is a different chapter on yoga. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Sahaj Yoga. And the highest yoga is Raj Yoga, which God Himself teaches. And His words in the Gita are, I teach you Raj Yoga and make you King of Kings. So what exactly is yoga? The word yoga has originated from a Sanskrit word, yuja, which means to connect, to communicate, to unite, to meet. We all know the meaning of the opposite of yoga, and the opposite of yoga is vyog. This word is more well known, vyog. And vyog means separation, going away, parting from each other. So separation is vyog. And in contrast to separation, yog means meeting. So meeting and separating, coming together and going away from each other, from one another. So yoga and vyoga are actually different aspects of life. From where you came, your hometown, your place, there was vyoga when you started, from that place. And you had yoga with Mount Abu. You were thinking of Mount Abu, I'm going to Mount Abu, I'm going to Mount Abu for this program. And then after 2-3 days you'll go back to your home and there'll be vyog from Mount Abu and you'll say, I'm going back home. So yog and vyog actually happen very easily. It's not something difficult to understand. But then it is understood at different levels. So the simplest meaning of yoga is to unite, a union, a communion, a meeting. And if we understand this at 3 levels, it can be understood better. The first level is the physical level of yoga, where 2 objects unite. We say A plus B equal to C. So it is A which has union with B and equal to C, so that plus sign is actually yog. You join two wires, you want to connect to the powerhouse, even that is yog. And then with whatever the connection happens, we are able to receive that. We get electricity when we connect with the powerhouse. But then there's a second level of yoga, and that is the mental level. You know, whenever we remember someone, supposing we are remembering him, and that person appears, at that time, usually in Hindi we say, "Arey kya yog tha mera? Aapko maine yaad kiya, aap aa gaye. I had yog with you. I remembered you, and you came. You were pulled here." So remembering anything is also yog, and it's the mind which remembers. So mind also connects, and that is also yog. But today we are going to talk about the spiritual level. So there's a physical level, the mental level, and the spiritual level. In mental level too, with whomever you are connected or with whoever you are remembering, whomever, immediately you get his feelings, his experience. But now when we are talking about the spiritual level, it has a very, very high meaning. It is the communication or link or communion or meeting or union of the Self with the Supreme. So meeting of the Self with the Supreme, this is the highest form of yoga. And to understand this communion, we have to first understand the Self. And then we have to understand the Supreme Being. And then we should know how to communicate. So these are the main three lessons which you will get in the morning sessions. So physical level is not difficult to understand. You tune in your radio to a particular radio station. You know the wavelength, the meter band, the frequency, whatever. And you are able to tune in to that radio station, and then accordingly you can hear the voice coming from that radio station. So even that is yoga with the radio station. And secondly, I mentioned about connecting with the powerhouse, and you get electricity in your home. We add sugar to milk. So milk plus sugar equal to sweet milk. So even that is yoga. It is yoga of milk and sugar, which results in sweet milk. So whatever is added, the taste of that will come in that in which it is added. So all that is a physical level of yoga. Now mental level is also not difficult to understand. You remember an incident which happened maybe 20 years ago, and it was a very tragic incident. And in that tragic incident, it was very, very sorrowful. And even now, if you remember that incident, you'll feel that sorrow. Instantly you'll feel the sorrow, and your face will become very sad. On the contrary, if you remember of a very happy incident, well, at that moment when you are remembering, nothing of that incident is around. Everything has changed in 20 years. Everything must have changed. But even if you remember it today, there'll be a very sweet smile on your face, as if it's happening right now. Because your mind has traveled to 20 years ago. So your mind is connected with that incident. And immediately you get that feeling right now, even after 20 years. So mentally also we are always connected with objects, people, places, incidents, whatnot. We are always thinking of something all the time. And whatever we are thinking of, we are connected with that. The mind becomes the medium which connects. Now when we talk about the spiritual level, it is connecting of the self with the Supreme. And therefore, to understand that, we have to understand the self. Who am I? Who am I? And who is that Supreme Being with whom I have to connect? Because both these things seem very vague. You can't see. Physical objects, things, places, you know, you have seen, you have a lot of knowledge of it. Even if you haven't seen it, but you can visualize it, you have seen pictures, you have seen everything of that. So it's not difficult to connect. But soul, self, supreme, all these are, they seem very vague, very abstract. And then we say, well, how to connect? When we read the Gita, God keeps saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, remember me, remember me. Keep your mind in me. Man manabhav. Keep your mind in me. And Arjuna says, how to keep your mind in you? We never ask this question for remembering human beings. No child will ask how to remember my mother, my father. Will any child ask? Will any student ask how to remember my teacher? Will any disciple ask how to remember my guru, whoever? Or anyone ask how to remember my friend? You know, you will never ask. But we ask how to remember God. Of course, we do try to remember. You know, we have so many different methods of prayers, of chanting and all. We do all that. But then, is the mind really connected? Because we are always complaining that this mind is like a naughty horse, a vagabond. It keeps wandering. And today's students especially, they complain a lot of lack of concentration. They are not able to concentrate. So the mind is not able to concentrate. And therefore, people want to know how to concentrate. And here also it's a concentration, but then we have to apply the right method. If you're not having the knowledge of right method, maybe this concentration is not possible. But before we do that, let us understand what the real meaning of yoga is. Because to communicate with the highest, the supreme, we say that is Raj Yoga, the highest of all types of yogas. And it means to consider oneself to be a soul and communicate with the supreme, that is Raj Yoga. Now this is a spiritual form of yoga. Let us understand this first. To really practice it, first of all, people would want to know what are the benefits. You know, before you want to do anything, you want to know what are the benefits of that. So Raj Yoga means where you become a king. Raj, you know, king. It's a king of all yogas. And king of what? King of your senses. You become the master of your senses. Today we are seeing how these senses have become our masters. You know, wherever these senses pull the mind goes there. And that's why the mind has become a vagabond. Sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of sight, sense of taste, sense of hearing. There are many things which we are not really wanting to hear or see, but still the mind is pulled there. Because the physical senses pull the mind. You go to a museum and it's written there everywhere, please don't touch, please don't touch, please don't touch. And still what we do? We try to touch. Nowadays they have glass, you know, glasses and all that. You know, it's very safe inside, you can't really touch it. But in the earlier days, all these things were not there. And even if it was written that please don't touch, still people would touch. In spite of knowing that they don't have to touch, because the sense of touch was pulling them. How to just touch, you know, to feel the sensation. And we see how these senses pull the mind. But through Raj Yoga, you become the king, whereby you are able to become the conqueror of your senses. So how to become the conqueror of your senses, where your senses are all under your control? If you don't want to see, don't see. Nobody can force you to see. If you don't want to hear, I won't hear. Nobody can force me to hear. If I don't want to eat, I won't eat. This tongue will not start, watering if I don't want to eat. But then sometimes we just can't control. So Raj Yoga teaches us to really control our senses. And then the second is to control your mind. Today people complain, we are not able to control our mind. What you really don't want to think, you can't stop thinking. And what you want to think, you can't think. You know? Sometimes we just can't remember anything. And we say, oh, I forgot. I just can't remember the word. I just can't remember. So some things you can't remember, even though it's on your lips, but still it's not coming. And some things which you want to forget, you say, how to forget? I just can't forget. So again, your mind has become the master. You are not even able to control your mind. So senses are not able to be controlled. Mind is not able to be controlled. Then what am I? And still there's so much ego. I am everything. You can't control your own self. Where's the question of controlling others? But Raj Yoga helps us to become the master of our senses. It helps us to become the master of our mind. And when you can really master your senses and your mind, you know what to think and what not to think, you save so much of your time and energy. And if you can do that, you definitely will be able to master the hearts of others. You can win the hearts of others, because you will be able to imbibe so many values in life through mastering your senses and your mind. And not only will you be able to master the hearts of others, you not only just win their hearts, but in this way you can also win the world. You can conquer the whole world. Nobody can conquer the world through weapons. How many people have tried? We know of Alex. We know of Alexander the Great. He tried to conquer the whole world. But could he conquer? On the contrary, when he was about to die, he said, "Put my hands outside the coffin. Let the world know that Alexander the Great, he wanted to conquer the world, but when he died, he left empty-handed." So nobody can really conquer the world through weapons, but you can definitely conquer the world by winning their hearts. Now this is how we learn in Raj Yoga. So what is Raj Yoga? It is the link, the individual soul with the Supreme Soul, and therefore the supreme of all types of yogas. It is the connection with the highest on high. And the method is also the highest. You know, people try to connect with God. There are many, many methods. But then the highest method, the best method, the easiest method, the shortcut method. You know, you wanted to come to Mount Abu. There are many, many ways to come to Mount Abu. You can climb the mountains and come to Mount Abu. But which path did you choose? The easiest path. Just sit in a taxi, sit in a bus, or sit in any vehicle and come up the mountain in just maybe 45 minutes. Otherwise, if you walk up the mountain, there are many paths. Before this road was built, people used to come walking, you know. They used to come climbing. So the easiest path, the shortcut path, because people don't have any time, this is what Raj Yoga can be. And the benefits, the attainments, are also the highest. What are the highest attainments? What do you mean by highest attainment? People talk a lot about attainments, benefit, success. And people think money and name and fame and prestige and house and this and that, you know, all these physical things. They think if I have everything, then I'm a successful person. And even if somebody has everything, still you can ask him, okay, are you satisfied in life? Are you really satisfied in life? After having attained everything, you know what his answer will be? Sorry, sister, although I have everything, but I just want peace now. So what is the highest attainment? What is the highest attainment? After having attained everything, still if you don't have peace, then it's like you have attained nothing. So peace is the highest attainment. Inner happiness is the highest attainment. Contentment is the highest attainment. And that can be experienced through Raj Yoga. And therefore we talk about what is the highest attainments. So Raj Yoga enables us to create new attitudes and responses to life. We have to change our attitude and also our responses. You know, we react a lot. If somebody tells me something which I don't like, immediately I'll react. Anger has become so common these days. But can I really give a right response instead of a reaction? These two words are quite different. Sometimes we have to just remain silent. We don't have to be aggressive every time. Something which is against my will or wish, I don't have to be aggressive for that. I can accept everything which comes in my way, but for that I need inner contentment, inner peace, inner happiness. That inner strength is very important. Even if physically somebody can be very strong, but if he's not emotionally strong, he can be a failure. However physically strong he may be, mentally strong he may be, IQ may be very high, very intelligent, but he can be a failure in life if he is not able to have that EQ, the emotional quotient. And therefore, how will this emotional quotient come when I'm able to, you know, really respond well to every situation in life? And for that, Raj Yoga teaches us self-awareness, self-realization, God-awareness, God-realization. And that's why we have many sayings, you know. In Hindi, there are beautiful sayings like, Jiska saathi hai Bhagwan, usko kya rokega aandhi aur tufaan. Chahe kitna bhi aandhi tufaan aa jaye, but Bhagwan jiska saathi hai, usko koi rok nahi sakta hai. So if I have that real faith in the self, faith in God, faith that everything is really beneficial, that faith is again very important. But then faith does not really mean blind faith. We have to have that awareness, and along with that awareness, we have to have that pure faith in us. And that faith and awareness, or we can say understanding, will lead me to success. And therefore, to understand Raj Yoga, we also understand how Raj Yoga is given different names. It is called Gyan Yoga. It is based on knowledge. It's not just based on our chanting or just mantras to be chanted, but it is based on spiritual knowledge. Who am I? Where have I come from? What is the purpose of life? What am I really supposed to do? Who is God? Where is God? How can I attain Him? What am I really going to achieve from Him? You know, all these spiritual aspects, if you can understand them, then you have really mastered yourself. So based on jnana, knowledge, enlightenment, and then it's also called sahaj yoga, which means easy. It's not something difficult. It's not difficult, and everyone can practice it. Even a small child can practice it. It is also called buddhi yoga. It is a meditation where the intellect guides the mind. The intellect needs to, you know, to guide the mind. Mind can be a horse, but then the saddle, you know, but then the reins should be under your control, and the reins are your intellect. And in this way you can control this horse. You can divert this horse wherever you want it to go. And this also called karma yoga. Many people don't really understand the meaning of karma yoga. They think the yoga is with the karma. Many people say all the time, you know, they become alcoholic, like work. Work is worship, they say. But we say work is okay. Work should be done with your hands, no doubt. But the intellect, the mind, should be with God. Okay, the work is there and you have to concentrate. Okay, the mind should be there. But where the work is just physical, your mind and intellect need not be there much. At that time, at least your mind should be with God. And therefore we say karma yoga means the hands are doing the karma, but the mind and intellect are with the Supreme. And that's what the Gita says. Karmane vadhika raste ma faleshu kadachanam. Karma par tumhara purna adhikar ho, par phal ki chinta mat karo. Don't worry about the fruit. Leave that fruit to God. You do your best. Because if we are trying to do our best, but the mind is not connected with God, then what happens is, if we get success, the ego comes. Oh, I did it. And if there's a failure, we become so unhappy. But there should be neither that ego nor the unhappiness, because I have left the fruit to God. I have to do my best. This is what we say, the real meaning of karma yoga. And when I understand karma yoga well, I also understand bhakti yoga well. What is bhakti yoga? Bhakti yoga means love. Bhakti means love. Love for God. That love within should be there for God, because that Supreme is the protector. Never forget Him. He's always there to guide you. He's always there to give you the strength. And you can never, never really be frustrated or depressed in life, because there's always there someone above you who's helping you. But that Supreme says, I give you the help, definitely, but you have to keep the courage. And there are many people who lose even courage, and they say, leave aside help, I don't even have courage. But God says, you come one step towards me, and then I'll come 100 steps towards you. Because the karma has to be done by us. God won't do karma for us. And therefore, real bhakti means true love for God. And when there is true love for God, then we are able to have all relationships with that Supreme. And that is the real sannyas yoga. Sannyas doesn't mean to renounce our family, our hearth and home, our responsibilities. That's not real sannyas. Sannyas means to renounce the vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, jealousy, hatred, all these impurities. That's what we have to renounce. Because that has made our life a veritable hell. And until we renounce them, we really cannot experience the true happiness in life, the true peace and comfort in life. So sannyas yoga does not mean renouncing family, renouncing our relationships, physical, or renouncing our responsibilities. No, no. Doing everything and still remaining like a lotus. Have you seen a lotus flower? It grows in a muddy pond. The whole family of the lotus is in a muddy pond, but that lotus is always above. And that lotus flower which is above the dirt, the filth, that is used for worship. Only that is used for worship, not the whole plant. So that is what God tells us. Live in this world, but don't allow the world to live in you. Just like you may have a huge ship. It has tons and tons of material in it. But that ship will never sink, never sink. But if by mistake also, by chance, water enters the ship, the ship will sink. So the ship should be on water, but the water should not be allowed to come in the ship. That is the most important thing. So live in this world. Do everything, but don't allow the world to be in you. Your heart and your soul should be with that Supreme. And then you'll see how this life is a beautiful life. And for that, we understand Samatva Yoga, the yoga of balance. In Gita, it is very well mentioned, who's the real yogi? The one who's able to have a wonderful balance in life. Maan, apmaan, ninda, stuti, jai, parajai, sukh, dukh. In all these aspects, he is able to be in equilibrium. He is able to have the equanimity. That one is a real yogi. And this is how we understand Raj Yoga. It helps us to be able to give a proper decision and judgment in life, so that is sharpened, our behavior is transformed, our personality is enhanced, our willpower is strengthened, peace is gained, and misdeeds are absolved, concentration increased, and relations improved, and of course, gain of bliss, the true ananda we talk about. But for that, we have to understand, who am I? Because when we tell some people to learn meditation, you know what they say? I'm too young for it. I will do these things only when I grow old. Or this is not in my religion. You know, some people will say that. Or I'm too busy. Actually, we say this is for everyone in this world to practice Raj Yoga, no matter what background he is, no matter what age he is of, because he just needs to make the choice to listen to his inner voice. That inner voice is always there to guide him. But very often we suppress that inner voice. And we are just enchanted by the external surroundings. So how to listen to that inner voice? We have to give time to ourselves. We give time to people, we give time to everything else. But what about the inner self? We hardly have time for that. And therefore there's always a tussle inside. Such a tussle that we get so confused in life because we are not listening to our inner self, that inner voice. And in order to understand the inner voice, to listen to that, we have to first of all understand the self. So who is the yogi? Who am I? Are all of you yogis? Those who think that, yes, I'm a yogi, raise your hand. Achha, not all? What do others think? Are you bhogi? Because it's either yogi or bhogi. Actually, all are yogis. Each one is a yogi. Because when you understood the meaning of word yog means to connect. So wherever the mind is connected, you are in yoga with that. So you are yogi, aren't you? Aren't you all yogis? Now you all have to raise your hand. All are yogis. Yes, all of you raise your hand. All are yogis. Very true. But now you have to become a Raj Yogi. Yogis you all are, no doubt. But you have to become a Raj Yogi. Now what is the meaning of Raj Yoga? So Raj Yoga is what we have to think of. So we already are yogis. But who is the yogi? You say, I. Now, who is that I? Is it just this physical body, skeleton of bones and flesh? Because when you say I'm a human being, the word human being is of two words, human and being. And human actually comes from the word humus, and humus means soil. So this physical body is made up of five elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, the five elements which are always changing. And therefore we say this body is always changing. In every 10 years, all the cells of the body change. So is that really me? Or am I that real life force in this body which is the real me? Because if I say this physical body is me, that means one day I'm born and one day I'll die. But if I say I'm that living force in this body, then I never die. I'm eternal. I was never born and I will never die. And that's what we call as the soul. So the being part is the soul. It's like the hardware and the software. The hardware is the body, no doubt. But what about the software? And I think all of you are software engineers, no? Maybe somebody is a hardware engineer too. But otherwise IT means information technology. So information technology is software. And therefore we say we are all softwares. We are not just software engineers, but we are softwares. That is, you are those which can think. That's why they say you are not what you eat. With what you eat, well, that will make your body, no doubt. You are not what you wear. Well, that can make your physical personality, no doubt. But is that really what you are? What you wear and what you eat, or what you do? You do so many things during the whole day, but are you really that? But it is said you are what you think, not do or eat or wear. Somebody maybe, you know, not eating much, but still physically he can be very strong. And some keep eating and they are not strong at all. Somebody can wear the robes of a sannyasi, but internally he's a thief. You never know. There's also a very beautiful saying, you know, God made man and a tailor made a gentleman. You wear a coat and pant and you look like a gentleman. But then ask yourself, how gentle am I? Are you really gentle? You may be called a gentleman, but are you really gentle? If you are not, then how can you be called a gentleman? Just by wearing a coat and pant? No. And therefore the inner personality is what really counts. What my thinking is like, what my feelings are like, what my emotions are like, what my visualization is like. So you are what you think, what you feel, what your attitudes are, what you visualize, all the subtle part. That's the software. And that's what you are. And that is what which is carried forward. You carry your software in your pen drive. Hardware has to remain wherever it is. You carry your soft copy. Hard copy is just the physical copy, and nowadays everything is becoming paperless, no? Paperless hospitals, paperless, everything paperless, because all is in the computer. So much of software. You know, they say the earlier days, before people, there were no vehicles, nothing, so 11 number ki gaadi, the legs were doing all the work. Then later on the wheel was invented. And people could sit in a cart and use animals and then go on a cart without using their legs. But then the legs got help, but the hands did not get help. So they invented many machines. The hands got help. The machines do all the work, you have to just control. But then they thought, well, legs got help, hands got help, but what about the brain? So for brain to get help, the computer was invented. Wasn't it? Brain, the computer has all your memory, you don't have to remember anything. Before we used to at least, you know, understand 2 into 2 is equal to 4. Now you need a calculator to multiply 2 by 2 to get 4. Just imagine, you need a calculator for that. The brain is not being used at all because everything is in your memory stick. Everything is in your computer, whatever. So the brain is not being used much, the hands are not being used, the legs are not being used, and what is the result of that? We are seeing, you know, all diseases. And therefore we say, it's not just hands and legs and brain, but then it's the mind which has to be connected with the Supreme. And that mind is the soft part. And I am that mind. I am the intellect. I am my sanskars. They say when a child is born, the child brings its fortune. Bhagya le aata hai bachcha. Bachcha apna bhagya lekar aaya. So what is bhagya? What is fortune? It is the fruit of your karma. And when a person dies, he takes his karma with him. Everything else of this physical world is left behind. Just what he did in life, only that goes with that soul and comes back as his bhagya, his fortune, on the basis of what he did. And therefore, who am I? I'm not just physical body, but I am that soul, that source of unique light energy, that spiritual being which is in this body, and that's why this is called human being. So what's the difference? A soul means like a driver, and body is a car. How can a driver say, I'm the car? Diamond and the box in which the diamond is kept. How can the box be called the diamond? A lamp and a hut. You have a lamp, but lamp is so different from a hut. The hut is maybe lit up because of that lamp, but that lamp is different from the hut. The image and the temple. Temple may be so huge, but the image is so small. You know, sometimes we see such a huge temple built for such a small image. But still the difference between the temple and the image. The charioteer and the chariot, the actor and the dress. Now this is the difference I have to understand between soul and body. And when I understand this, I realize that I am a spiritual being. I existed even before this body came into existence. And I will continue to exist even after this body perishes. I am immortal. This body is mortal, physical. I am eternal and this body is temporary. I am conscious. This body is not conscious. When the soul leaves the body, it's dead. And still we pray for the peace of the soul. No. It's a bitter truth. Let me tell you what's a bitter truth. Somebody who has never experienced peace in life, never. Always peaceless. And when he dies, the body is in peace. But still we say, oh God, may his soul rest in peace. No, don't we say that? But the bitter truth is that if he has not remained peaceful in his lifetime, he will not be in peace even after he leaves the body. This is a bitter truth. Because the sanskars of peacelessness have been carried with him for the next life. So how can he be peaceful? And therefore we say, if we want peace, it's right now. If not now, then never. And how far away is peace from you? It is only one thought away. It's just one thought away. And that thought is, I am a peaceful soul. The body does not want peace. The body wants action. The more action there is in the body, the better for you, because you'll be healthier. But the more the mind is at peace, the more strong you will become mentally and emotionally. And therefore I made all of you say Om Shanti. What does Om Shanti mean? Om Shanti means I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful soul. And when you say this to yourself, you understand that I am a soul which is different from this body. So who am I? Somebody may have heard about the soul. So what he'll say, I have a soul in me. Do you think this statement is right? I have a soul in me. What does that mean? It means I am the body and I have a soul in me. The second statement is, I have a soul in my body. Usually we say this, I have a soul in my body. Now will the dead body say, now I don't have a soul in my body? It can't speak. The soul only will say, I am a soul in the body. So the third sentence is, I am a soul in the body. Therefore, which is the right sentence? Which is the correct sentence? Which is the correct sentence? The third one. Because when you say, I have a soul in me, means I am the body and I have a soul. Because something which you have is not what you are, no? Big difference. And if you say, I have a soul in my body, so have a soul and my body means both are different from you. You are some third person. But I am a soul in my body. This would be the right statement. So what is a soul? Soul means the mind, the intellect and the subconsciousness. Because that's what the soul carries with itself. What is mind? What is intellect? And what is the subconsciousness, what we call as sanskars? To understand this further, let us understand what the mind is. It's your thought power. Power to think. Endless power you have to think. We talk about physical energies. We talk about, you know, mind energy also. We say in physical energies, light travels the fastest. Light energy travels the fastest. But still, science believes that it takes 8 minutes for that light, the first ray of light which comes from the sun to reach the earth, it takes 8 minutes for the light ray to reach the earth from the sun. But how long does it take for the mind to reach the sun? How long? How long? A fraction of a second. Instantly you can be in the sun. Think of that big ball of fire, the sun, and you can feel yourself there. Maybe also feel the heat of the sun. It takes only a second. So what's the speed of the mind? You can go 20 years back, 20 years ahead in a second. So mind is so powerful, but it is the greatest and least understood energy resource of the universe. And when we understand and harness this energy, then we can master our life. You are your mind. What you think, that you become. You are what you think. So it is your thinking power, it's your feeling power, your experiencing power, your imagination, your forming of ideas, all that comes in the mind. But so many things come in the mind. Mind can think negative, positive, all these. You'll have other sessions on this. But then who's to decide? Who's to decide what to do? And that is also in your soul, the understanding power. That which evaluates, which reasons, which discerns, which decides, which understands, which accepts or rejects. That's your inner voice, which is always guiding you. But what does the mind do? It just suppresses the intellect. It suppresses the intellect and allows the senses to become the masters. You know, there's a saying in Hindi, beautifully said, Soch samajh kar karma karo. Think, understand the consequences and then do. This is the real method. Before you do anything, first think. Then understand what will be the consequences of it. And if you think it's good, then do. But usually when one is an ego or jealousy or hatred, you know, all these weaknesses of your mind, what happens, the senses are very powerful. Instead of thinking, reasoning and then doing, it's a reverse process. The doing comes first, instantly, extempo, without thinking of what the consequences are going to be. And then the understanding comes, oh, it was wrong. And then the thinking comes, what to do now? What to do now? So what to do, the thinking should come first. And then the understanding, what will be the result of this? And then the doing part. So the reasoning part is the intellect, which is always guiding you, always guiding you. इसीलिए ना हिंदी भी से क्या करे मन खाता है अब गलती तो कर दी यू डिड समथिंग रॉन्ग एंड देन यू फील गिल्टी विद इन व्हाई यू फील गिल्टी बिकॉज इट्स अगेंस्ट योर कॉन्शियंस इट्स अगेंस्ट योर ट्रू नेचर एवरी सोल इन इट्स ओरिजिनल नेचर इज वेरी प्योर बट इफ आई गो अगेंस्ट माई नेचर नेचुरली दैट गिल्ट विल बी देयर. And why do I go against my nature? Because the senses have become the masters. And therefore, we have to have that understanding power, the intellect working all the time. Big difference between intellect and intelligence. Intelligence may be the grey matter of your brain, no doubt. Lot of memory, yes. Some people are very intelligent in that way. Their memory is very sharp, they can remember everything. But that's not really intelligence. That's why today IQ has not been given so much importance. Higher than IQ is the EQ. But higher than EQ is the MQ, the moral quotient. And higher than the moral quotient is your SQ, the spiritual quotient, where you're able to understand in a spiritual way that I am a soul and each one is a soul. And if I understand in this way, then I can actually concentrate better. So what is the intellect? It is actually the decision power. So the needle of concentration, the rod of unbiased attitude, and the weight of values in life. You give importance to values rather than any physical thing in life. And when you can do that, it means you are using your intellect in the rightful way. And then whatever you do becomes your sanskars. And they create an imprint like on your pen drive or your CD is there. And you have to just put it in a CD player or in a computer and you can replay. You can see or hear or whatever. So whatever we do creates an impact on the soul itself. The imprints of actions done, your habits, your tendencies, your memories, your talents, all your qualities, that's your subconsciousness, which are always carrying with you. And on the basis of that, you perform the actions. That is why you'll see that some children, at a very, very young age, they have such talents. From where did they get those talents? They did not learn, you know, a practice in that life. But they brought it from the past birth. And also, we talk about, you know, out-of-body experience. Person looks physically dead. It's like a brain dead. Seems like dead. But after some time, he wakes up again. And he tells how he was outside the body and he could see his own body. You know, many, many experiences of that. And the third factor is PLR called past life regression. Nowadays medical science is using this PLR, taking person into the past and then maybe deleting from that past all the sorrows of which is not in the present life, or whatever pain is there, it can be removed by taking into past life. Now all that is proof that there is existence of the soul. So who am I? A soul, a point of divine light, energy, sentient energy between the two eyebrows, you know, between the two eyebrows where ladies apply tilak, that is the seat of the soul, the surface marking. Also it's called the third eye, and we also call it the Agya Chakra. So this third eye, the Agya Chakra, or the place of the tilak, all this pertains to the soul. And in meditation, the first step is to become aware of yourself as a soul seated here between the two eyebrows, and I am the master of my senses. Just like a driver in a car or any vehicle, even an aeroplane, a train, such a huge vehicle they have to carry. But then the driver will sit in the front and he becomes a master of the whole vehicle. So I am the master of this body sitting here between the two eyebrows and the conqueror or of these senses. If I want to use these senses, I use. If I don't want to, I can just control myself. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear. I don't want to do. I don't want to say. I can keep my mouth shut. Sometimes we do wrong things and say, I don't know why I did, I don't know how I did. How can you say the how I did, I don't know. You are the master of your senses. But that is possible only when I'm aware of who am I. I'm a soul and I'm seeing through these eyes. Eyes are only like a lens. The lenses don't see. Similarly, the eyes don't see, but the soul sees through these lenses. So whatever physical organs I'm using, they are just being used by me, the soul. And if I don't want to use them, I can just control them. And when I'm able to understand this, I realize that I'm the master. And the knowledge of I, the master, is mastering yourself. So that knowledge of who am I is mastering the self. And when I have this knowledge that I am a soul, then my true nature is purity. I am very pure within. No one is really bad in life. No one is bad. No one. I don't want to go further because we are getting late. But purity is my inborn nature. And when there's purity of thoughts, of words and actions, then there is true peace. Peace is not just external, it is through my thoughts. I can experience peace when there's purity of thoughts in my mind. And when there's peace, there is love. Love for the soul, love for values. Love not just for the body. Physical may be a vice. But spiritual love is the true love. And when there's a true love, then the true inner happiness, the inner contentment. And when there's happiness, then the bliss. Anand, what we say, which is a spiritual form of happiness of the soul. And when there's that happiness, then I get the willpower. The power, soul power we talk about. The willpower. And when these seven qualities come, then the soul is so light, just like an angel. I get wings to fly. In a second I can go beyond this physical body, beyond this physical world, into another hemisphere, into another sphere, which I'll mention. So first I go within. I ask myself, who am I? I say, Om Shanti. I am a soul. And my nature is peace. And once I say I am a peaceful soul, I begin to understand that this world is not my home. My true home is beyond this physical world. We all say, don't we, that this world is a stage, Shakespeare said, and we are all actors playing our respective roles. So if we are actors playing our respective roles, then actors' home is not the stage. They have a separate home from where they come on the stage to play their roles. We call this world a guest house. ये दुनिया एक मुसाफिर खाना है, हम दो दिन के मेहमान है. वी से वी आर ऑल गेस्ट इन दिस वर्ल्ड. भगवान के घर से आए हैं, भगवान के घर जाना है. फॉर द बॉडी वी विल नॉट से दिस, ये मेहमान है, ये तो इसी दुनिया का है ये शरीर. बट हम इस संसार के नहीं है. वी से आत्म पंछी, सोल इज लाइक अ बर्ड, इट्स होम इज द स्काई. The home of the bird is the sky, you know. It's not earth. So too, the soul is like a bird in the sense, it's like a traveler. The soul is like an actor. My true home is beyond the five elements, in the sixth element of eternal light, the Brahma element, the soul world. So above these five elements is the sixth element, the element of silence, absolute silence. In this world, nothing is absolute, everything is relative. Everything is relative. But there's definitely something which is absolute, and that absolute means no comparison. And that is my soul world, the world of silence, where I, the soul, am in a state of liberation, mukti, we say. So it's called Mukti Dham, Brahma Lok, Mool Vatan, your original home, Shanti Dham. You know, many people, when they are fed up of this life, fed up of this world, they say to God, Hey Bhagwan, mujhe utha lo is duniya se. God, please call me, I don't want to live in this world. Why we don't want to live in this world? Because every soul is an embodiment of peace. And therefore the soul becomes homesick. You know, when we are away from home for a long time, what happens? Long, very big journey, lots of places to go, we get so tired. We are just waiting for when we will return home. If it's 1 month tour, after 15 days we start countdown. 14 days to return home, 13, 10, 8, 5, whatever. And the moment we land on our land, our mobiles start working. I'm coming, I'm home, I'm coming home, I've reached the airport. So we become homesick. Similarly, spiritually also we become homesick. We don't want to live in this world. Why people want to die? They don't want to live. Actually, life is very precious. But souls become homesick. And we say, why do you want to die in order to get peace? Just go there to that world in a second through the mind and experience yourself in that subtle world, in that world of light. I am a soul, a point of divine light in that world of light, in absolute silence. And then the moment I think in this way, I realize who I am. I'm a soul, a spirit, a divine point of light, and my real attributes are knowledge, purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss and power. And my temporary home is this center of the forehead, but my permanent home is my eternal home, the soul world. And I came in this world as an actor. You know, many people question, why have I come in this world? What is the purpose of life? We say there are three purposes, three reasons for why we have come in this world. But we have come from that home, don't forget. We are eternal beings. And why have we come in this world? Those three reasons are, and if you are able to fulfill those three reasons, then our purpose of coming into this world has been served. The first reason is, that we are all actors on this world stage. Play your role in the best way possible, whatever role you have been given. Play it in the best way possible. This is the first purpose of life. Second purpose of life, that whilst playing this role, reveal your attributes, your original attributes in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions. Then you will be really called a true soul, a true actor on this world drama stage. We have come in this world to share our peace with each other, our love with each other. This is why we have come in this world. And the third reason is, we have to not forget the one who has sent us in this world. We have to glorify the name of that Supreme Being. You know, like you're working for your company, and if you are sent abroad to really understand more of what to do, how to do, you know, from America, from anywhere. And if you go there and say, oh, let me just enjoy and eat, drink, be merry, and you forget your purpose, you are not really fulfilling your true aim of life. So why have we come in this world? We ask somebody and he'll say, oh God, we say, eat, drink and be merry. That's our purpose of life. Definitely not. Our purpose of life is not just to hoard money or this and that. No, that is, we are not going to take with us. We didn't bring with us. That's not our purpose of life. But our purpose of life is to glorify that Supreme who sent us in this world, to carry on and to share what we already have, all our values in life. And when we are able to do that, definitely we are true meditators. So what is meditation? Swami Vivekananda beautifully said, meditation is the manifestation of perfection within. Each one is perfect within. To manifest that in action, this is what real meditation is. And this is our real purpose of life too. And the beauty of, you know, manifesting that perfection is to increase that perfection. Increase it. The more you share peace with others, the more peaceful you will become. Physical things, if you share, they will reduce. But values, if you share, they will increase. Knowledge shared is knowledge doubled. Peace shared is peace doubled. Happiness shared is happiness doubled. So you double it, you increase it. And that's why we have come in this world. And once I understand this, I am also then able to detach whenever I want. So I'm a point of light. I'm neither the body nor the role. The role is not permanent. All these are changing roles. So I'm neither the body nor the role, but I'm an actor on this world drama stage. And this will help me to detach and observe my body and scenes happening around me, because I'm different from them. And once I detach and observe, I also am able to reject all the negativities, because my intellect is now able to guide the mind. And thereby, I accept only positive thoughts, emotions and feelings. And when I can do that, I'm really soul conscious. Okay, so this is the theory part. And now let us do the practice part. Just sit upright, please. And this red light is actually golden red light, which is indicating that, you know, when you have a red light on the signals, it means stop. So the first signal is stop. Whatever other thoughts you are having of this world, stop. Give a break. And the second, it's the golden red, the yellow one. And that's what we say, okay, be ready. Be ready to take your mind forward, upward. Away from this physical world, away from the sound of this world, away from all the physical attractions and pulls, away from the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, we go to the sixth element of infinite golden red light. And I visualize myself in that supreme abode of light as a tiny point of divine light and might, totally in my original nature of peace and love and happiness. And for that, I have to tell that to myself. I have to speak to myself. And I speak to myself, and in this way that awareness comes, and that through that awareness I have that feeling, because the awareness will lead me to that feeling, and that will lead me to the realization. So I have to say to myself, question yourself and answer yourself. In this way you can practice soul consciousness. I will be able to help you through a commentary which you can give to yourself as I keep giving the commentary. Just sit straight, please. If you wish, you can keep your eyes open if you like, and look in front and take vibrations of peace from the front. But internally I go within. Go within. Ask yourself, who am I? Why am I? What is my purpose? From where am I? And give yourself an answer. I am a soul. A point of divine energy. Seated between the two eyebrows, the center of my forehead, focus your thoughts at the center of your forehead. I am a soul seated here, and the master of my body. This physical body is like my costume, which I have put on to play my roles on this world drama stage. I am neither the costume nor the role. My true identity is that I am a peaceful soul. I am the master of my body. In a second, I detach my mind from the pull of the body. I and with my mind and intellect, fly beyond the five elements into the sixth element of infinite golden red light. I visualize deep silence in this world of light. Absolute silence. I am a peaceful soul in the world of silence. Completely free from all physical pulls and bondages. I am light. Light in form, light in weight, absolutely free my true nature. Is peace. I'm surrounded by peace all around me. Peace is my greatest power within me. I am a peaceful soul in the world of peace. I am peaceful. I am powerful. I'm blissful. I am pure. I am now aware of my true self. I'm detached and light. Now I come back into the physical world, back in my physical body. This physical costume but with that awareness that I am a peaceful soul performing my actions through this physical body. This awareness will enable me to perform the right actions, to create positive thoughts, to speak right words, to have right emotions and feelings, and to play my best part on this world drama stage. Om Shanti.